Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, you'd have your hand on all these needs that's been mentioned, God. And Lord, there were some others, Lord, that did not get mentioned. Miss Gwen Pate, God, I pray, God, you would touch her. Lord, I pray, God, you just be with all these, God. And I pray right now, Lord, as we open up your word, God, that you just help us right now as we try to preach this. God, give us the grace. Give us the preaching. And God, Lord, because if you don't do it, it's not going to happen tonight. God, I love you, and I thank you for each one that's come this way and those that might be listening, Lord, through Facebook or YouTube right now. Have your way right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach just a little while on the thought of what we should bring to church. What we should bring to church. Now, we all know we ought to bring our Bibles. Amen. That ought to be a given. We ought to bring our Bibles, but people bring all kind of stuff to church. You know, throughout the years, as I was studying this, I thought about Mike. Mike said that one day his granddaddy was preaching and he was playing with a little car on the back of the pew there, and I believe he said it was granddaddy. Said, "Son, you need to stop that." And he said, I've been in church a long time. I've seen people do all kind of things in church, amen. I'll be honest with you, that we found toenail clippings in church. Fingernail clippings in church. I've seen people balance their checkbook in church. I've seen people when the singer was up singing, they'd be flipping through the Bible. When the preacher was up preaching, they'd be flipping through the songbook. Say amen, David. You've seen it, ain't you? Oh, yeah. I mean, so we bring all kind of things. I mean, there's certainly, we ought to bring our Bibles. We ought to bring the right attitude. But Psalms 100 here is the psalm talking about the future millennial kingdom when Jesus takes over and rules and reigns. And we know we're not there yet, praise the Lord, but we're going to be there. But understand something. The Bible talks about Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. As when we come to church, we ought to come to church with certain mindset and bring some things to church when we come. Now, in verse 1 and 2 right there, verse 1 and 2, let's go back and look at this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Number one, we ought to bring a right spirit to church. Yeah. Amen? We ought to come to church with the right spirit. I'll be honest with you. If you be honest tonight, sometimes we come to church and we don't have the right spirit. Anybody ever came to church mad? Anybody ever came to church grumpy? We've all done it. But we ought to come to church with the right spirit. The Bible says right there to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let's break this down just a little bit. That word right there, make, it means to make music. If you study this out a little bit, it's used as talking about the music of the Psalms. We know that Psalms are a bunch of songs that was put together. Then there's the word joyful. It means to give a public confession of the attributes and the works of God. Then thirdly, there's the word noise. The word noise is to raise a shout. It refers to a ringing cry or a cry that pierces the eardrum. Now, to make a joyful noise, the King James Bible, if you break it down to the interlineal word there, it comes from a Greek word or the Hebrew word ruha, which means to split the ears or to sound an alarm or blow an alarm or make a joyful noise or shout or of a trumpet. Understand, God is calling for us to worship from our hearts. God is calling for us to worship loudly. For all y'all folks that say, "I don't get loud," I'm just this ain't a choice. This is a commandment from God. He says that we're to worship him. We're to worship him loudly. Genuine praise and genuine worship is always vocal. Look, understand, God gets no glory when you and I just sit there like a bump on a pickle. So true worship and true praise is loud. Let me tell you something, folks. I believe when we crank up the music, we ought to get loud. Amen. Some folks don't like loud music. Hey, I used to blare it when I was out there in the world. I think we ought to blare it, praise God, when we come into God's house. We ought to have the music so loud that you try to shout it down. Amen. But the problem is, most of us, we don't come to church with the right attitude. We don't come to church with the right spirit. We don't come to church looking to praise God. We don't come to church wanting to praise God. We don't come to church seeking to praise God. The Bible tells us in Psalms 40, I love you, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. How many remember where God brought you from? He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my going, now listen, and has put a new song in my mouth. Amen. We ought to want to come to God's house and praise. We ought to want to come to God's house and worship. We ought to want to come to God's house and lift up our hands. Just like she was singing the song, sometimes you ought to want to come and just thank Him. Not that you want nothing, not that you need nothing. You just want to thank Him. Sometimes you want to come in and praise Him. Sometimes you just want to thank Him for all that He's given you. Have a good Thanksgiving when you come into God's house. Sometimes we just want to worship Him. Somebody asked, what's the difference between praise and worship? I'll give you a good example. Praise is when you thank God for your new car. Worship is when you have a fit when you ain't got no car. See, the problem with most of us, we can't come in with a smile on our face unless God just pours out the blessings on us. Oh, and you come in, I just want to thank the Lord. Let me tell you, you know what worship is? Just like Sister Brenda got up here a while ago and said, she ain't got the results back, but she going to go ahead and give Him credit anyhow, amen? That's what I'm talking about. We ought to come in with the right spirit. Whether He answers my prayer or not, I'm still going to praise Him. I'm still going to worship Him, amen? Now, we ought to come in with a shouting spirit. We ought to come in with a serving spirit. In verse 2, the word serve means to be in bondage to. It's like a slave. It's referring to doing whatever the master tells us to do or tells a slave to do. In other words, we are to be at God's beck and call. Why? Just like she sang the song, because of Calvary. Because of Calvary. You see, you ain't always been saved. You ain't always been where you at now. Amen. Amen. I'll be honest with you. Some of us ought to think back on our life. And we're talking about that horrible pit. I think about Scoopy every time I read that. Scoopy talked about how God had to turn over a log and move some stuff out of the way just to get a hold to him in that miry pit. Amen. Some of us know what it means to be way down. Some of us know. And we ought to come in wanting. The Bible says to whom much is given, much is expected. That's why I wonder how I used to think sometimes that all the old drunks that God would call to preach, David, made the best preachers because they never forgot where God brought them from. Amen. We ought to come in with a serving spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We ought to do what God tells us to do with no hesitation. Now listen, here's where it's going to get good. It not only does it say we ought to serve God, but it says we ought to serve God with gladness. I'm going to knock the shout out right now. Amen. Serve God with gladness. That word gladness comes from the Greek word simcha. It means a blissomeness or glee or exceeding gladness, a mirth or pleasure or rejoicing. Basically, if you break it down, it means laughter. We ought to be happy to do the work of God. We ought to be happy when we call for work day. I told you. We ought to be happy when we call for work day. Let me tell you something. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. We ought to have that attitude that Brother Charles Brooks used to have. He loved coming out for work day. I'm telling you right now, he loved it. He loved it. He would come out with a smile on his face and work. That ought to be how we, you and I. The Bible taught, David said in Psalms 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto us, let's go to the house of the Lord. That glad, it comes from the same root word that I'm talking about. It means to cheer up or be gleesome or to be glad or to be happy. We ought to be ecstatic when it's time to go to God's house. You ought not say, well, it's Wednesday night. I got to go to church. That's what's wrong with most of us. That's our attitude. Well, I've worked all day. It's Wednesday night. I reckon I better go to church. And you wonder why you leave the same way you was when you got here. The Bible says we are to serve the Lord, be at his beck and call, and serve him with gladness, with laughter, with enjoyment. We ought to come into God's house and be looking forward to what God's going to do in this service. You already know what God's doing in your life. If I stop right now, every last one of us has got a reason tonight to praise and honor and give God glory. You know what he's doing in your life. You ought to come in and see what he's going to do in the service. Serve the Lord with gladness. We ought to have a singing spirit in verse 2. Here we're told to approach the Lord with singing. The little word again refers to the ringing or the shouting. Our hearts ought to be so filled with serving the Lord and how good God's been to us. And I don't know how, my thing is this, you know, I don't know, this is how I operate. I get my mind operates like this. Ever since Sunday, I've been singing them choir songs. I've been singing them Christmas songs. I get in my car and I turn that wide open. Amen. I have to turn it down when I get to the house because I know if my wife gets in the car, she's going to fuss at me for it being so loud. Amen. I've been singing Joy to the World. I let me tell you, I've been listening to Christmas music for 3 weeks. Amen. We ought to come into God's house with a singing spirit. The Bible talks about the singing right there. The first two verses tells us when we got God in our life, you're not going to be able to hide him. When you got God in your life, hey, he's going to burst out every once in a while in song. He's going to burst out every once in a while in a little shouting. He's going to burst out every once in a while with praise and laughter, amen, and be happy about being saved. See, some of y'all got over being saved a long time ago, and that's why you're so miserable. You ought to never get over being saved. Amen. Some things you ought to bring to church. You ought to bring the right spirit. But then verse 3 tells us we ought to be in the right submission. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that has made us and not we ourselves, for we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You ought to submit to the person of God. You ought to submit. We're told to know that the Lord is God. This word means to make a distinction. We are to know that he is God, and he is God all by himself. Amen. There ain't nobody else. Amen. And so whatever you put before God is your God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Hosea chapter 13, verse 4, yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. Thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. John chapter 17, verse 3, and this is the eternal life, that they may know thee, the only one true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So we are to know that there is only one true God. God, and we are to submit to him. We are to submit to the person of God, but we are to submit to the purpose of God. Amen. Now listen. Know ye that the Lord is God? It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Number one, he's God. He's God, and this ain't good English, but and you ain't. No, don't you know that? He's the one that made us and not we ourselves. Everything I ever do is a mess. Amen. Everything I try to put my hand to most time turns out just I booger it all up. But ain't it amazing how God has created us? God created everything. Jesus Christ spoke everything into existence. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. We are his people. We are his sheep. I want you to notice something now. We eat from his pasture. I don't want to hear how much you're working. I don't want to hear how good your job is. I don't want to hear how much you got in your freezer. Let me go ahead and tell you something. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have nothing. If it wasn't for God providing, you'd starve to death. If it wasn't for God providing, you'd die. It's He that made us. We ought to submit to the purpose of God. What we ought to do what He says, when He says. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And for without me, ye can do nothing. Understand something. God saved us for a purpose. That is His will. I'm tired of hearing people say this. I'm just trying to find the will of God for my life. The Bible never tells you to find the will of God. The Bible tells you to do the will of God. Big difference. Big difference. Let me go ahead and tell y'all something. I didn't start out wanting to be a preacher. Oh, no. I'm just going to be honest with you. I was tickled to death being a state trooper. I loved it. I did. I loved it. I never grew up wanting to be a preacher. I don't know of nobody that grows up wanting to be a preacher. I had seen preachers. I seen how preachers got treated in church before. I didn't want that. But when God tells you to do something, you do the will of God. And understand something. It is God's will for us to come in and worship and glorify and honor His name. It is God's will for you and I to be a witness to Him. It is God's will for you and I to tell people about Him. It is God's will for you and I to invite people to church. We ought to be doing God's will because He's the one that made you. He's the one that provides for you. You're eating in His pasture. You're serving. Hey, you're breathing in His air. You're walking on His earth. Amen. We ought to submit to the will of God. You got to bring the right spirit, be in the right submission, and bring the right sacrifice. Now listen real good. Verse 4 and 5 says this, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Back in the day in the tabernacle and in the temple, we know from studying that the priest, they had to bring all these sacrifices, they had to kill all these animals. We understand that when the temple was dedicated, there was like 250,000 sheep that were killed on that occasion, and we understand that was just the everyday life. And then all of a sudden, when it come time to go back into the Holy of Holies, Greg, that priest had to make sure everything was right. It had everything, every T had to be crossed, every I had to be dotted, everything had to be laid out perfectly, or he would die. Now thank God we ain't got to worry about offering blood sacrifices anymore. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ took care of that. Amen. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that the veil was rent from top to bottom. In other words, access was opened up to everybody that accepted the sacrifice that Jesus Christ brought. Amen. Now, understand something. We know the Bible, what the Bible says. The blood of Jesus in Romans chapter 8, verse 7. The Bible says we are sons in Romans chapter 8. 1 John chapter 3, the Bible talks about how the great gates were once closed, but now they're opened, amen, open to you and I because of the blood that was sacrificed to Jesus. Now, the Bible says we are to enter into His courts, not just His sanctuary. At one time, there was an outer sanctuary where the Gentiles would meet. They could not even go into the inner sanctuary where the Jews was. But now, glory to God, not only do we have access to the Holy of Holies through the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made, we have access all the way in. We ain't got to worry about standing on the backside. We ain't got to worry about no Jew getting in front of us. We ain't got to get in a closet and talk to a man with a dress, glory to God. We have access. The Bible says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Understand that we have access now through the blood of Jesus Christ. So what's the sacrifice that you and I need to bring? It's a sacrifice of praise. It's the sacrifice of being humble and being what God wants you to be. When we come into God's house, understand something. When we come into this sanctuary, You are coming into the presence of a holy God. If you'll ever get a grasp of that. I don't know everybody in this building right now. I don't know if everybody in this building is saved or not. But you understand something. Right now, you are in the presence of a holy God. She sang the song, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. She said it in the song. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst. How many of y'all got saved in church? Raise your hand. If you got saved in church, raise your hand. Amen. Guess what? I did too. And you know what? When I got there, I was lost as a yard dog. I mean lost. I'm like Jackie said, lost as a ball in high grass. I mean, I was lost. Well, how in the world did I get saved in church? Why? Because there was Christians in that building. And the Bible says, David, where two or three are gathered together, in my name, I'm going to be in the midst. Amen? So guess what? I showed up at church that Sunday morning amongst all them Christians, lost as I could be. And guess who else showed up that day? Amen. It was Jesus. Amen? It was Jesus. And that's how I got saved. So if you're here tonight and you're not where you need to be, you understand something. You are still sitting in the presence of a holy God. You can still get things right tonight. That's the sacrifice he wants for us. If you're here tonight and you're saved and you know you're saved, let me tell you something. Every time we come into this building, we ought to be looking to praise him. We ought to be wanting to praise him. We ought to be having that desire to praise him. I know sometimes we come in and just like Brother Charlie got anointed and other people come down, they have things on their mind, things on their heart. They get anointed. Sometimes we come in and we're burdened down with troubles and trials, but understand that he's still God. He's still God. And he still wants to move. And he still wants to work in our life. So when we come in with the right sacrifice, he moves. He moves. See, if you go back and study the Old Testament, there were certain animals had to die for certain type of sins. What's going on in your life right now? What's going on in your life right now? What do you need God to do? Are you willing to make that sacrifice? Are you willing to get on an altar and just pour it out to him? That's all he wants anyhow. He already knows what you're going through. He just wants you to go through the motions of getting it. Amen? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. What do you need? What do you need? Brenda, come back and sing that song one more time. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.